Gosh, that hymn, This Is My Father's World, I haven't thought of it as an Advent hymn before, but it's perfect, and it actually really relates very well to what I have to share today. So thank you, Becca, and the music team. Whenever Advent begins, I always think, oh, great, we're going to have some really wonderful, inspiring, heartwarming readings by candlelight about faith and hope and love. And then I go and look them up, and I'm reminded that Advent does not exactly start off with that sort of a tone. Instead, we usually get John the Baptist telling people to repent, or as today, Jesus warning his disciples about a tumultuous time that is ahead. It's not exactly cozy, and it's not exactly comfortable. So today's readings might feel a little out of step with the season. Out there, we're probably in full-blown, most wonderful time of the year mode, but at church, we are asked to slow things down a bit and prepare for Christmas through this season of Advent. And that is an exercise that requires some discipline because it's not necessarily where we would naturally turn first. Most of us, except for maybe the most hardcore among us, would prefer a word of comfort, a word of reassurance or ease today. But that's not exactly what Jesus gives us. And hearing what he has to say reminds us that not all is calm or bright in our lives or in the world. So it's helpful to remember before we dive in that hearing hard things can ultimately be for our good. I recently got on the Ted Lasso train and finally watched that TV series. And if you've seen it, you know that Ted Lasso might be the cheesiest guy you've ever heard, but he has a way of saying things that really stick with you. And he has one truism that relates to today's reading about feeling uncomfortable. Taking on a challenge is a lot like riding a horse, isn't it? If you're comfortable while you're doing it, you're probably doing it wrong. So if the lead up to Christmas is entirely comfortable for us, maybe we're doing something wrong. Or better said, maybe we're missing something. There's a message that we might be missing. A challenge, a wake-up call that is given by Jesus for our own good. So let's look at today's gospel reading, taken from chapter 13 in the Gospel of Mark. If you look at the entirety of this chapter, which we have sort of the second half in our reading today, the part that we don't have gives the context for this conversation. Jesus and his disciples are in the temple in Jerusalem, the temple that was rebuilt when the people of Israel came back from exile, and then King Herod improved and refurbished it. And it was one of the wonders of the world at the time, truly an impressive building, and for the Jews, their place of worship, their place of deep connection with God and God's presence. And so Jesus begins discussing the temple with his disciples, and what follows is a discourse that can be somewhat confusing. It's clear that something catastrophic is being predicted here by Jesus, but the timeline is a little bit unclear. This reading is chosen during Advent for its traditional interpretation that Jesus is referring here to his second coming. I'll tell you about a different way to think about what Jesus is warning his disciples about in just a minute. But first, let's think about Jesus' second coming. In Advent, we have two layers of time that we're navigating, looking back to the birth of Christ, his first arrival on earth, and looking forward to his second coming at the end of the age. Now, you might think, oh, as Episcopalians, you know, we don't really focus too much on the second coming, and we don't as much as some other denominations might, particularly ones that I grew up in. But if we look at our liturgy, the liturgy seems to think that it's very important for us to remember about the second coming, because we actually affirm our faith in the second coming of Jesus twice every single Sunday. So I want you to think for a second, where might that be? The first place is in the Nicene Creed when we say, he will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead. And then when we get to the Eucharistic prayer, that is also referenced in both prayer A and prayer B. Today we'll be saying prayer B. In prayer A, we say Christ has died, Christ is risen, Christ will come again. Or we remember his death, we proclaim his resurrection, We await his coming in glory. And just for good measure, our collect for today that David prayed for us gives us a third reminder today, saying that in the last day, Jesus shall come again in his glorious majesty. So this is clearly an important belief for us to hold on to and to understand. There's so much mystery and intrigue and, frankly, a lot of misinformation out there about Jesus' second coming. What is it that we are affirming when we say these words aloud together? Christ will come again. It means that we believe that Jesus' 30-ish years on earth were not just a blip on the divine radar screen, a short-term anomaly that ended when Jesus came back to earth. Instead, we believe that God has permanently bound himself to us in the incarnation when he took on our flesh, and that Jesus' time on earth was just a foretaste of what is to come in the new heavens and the new earth, when God will fulfill his promise to dwell among his people, to be their God, and to have them as his people. So in Christmas, we celebrate the incarnation, this breaking in of God to human history, coming in flesh. And when we affirm the second coming, we're saying that God has not abandoned that mission. Jesus will be coming back again to be with us forever, to make things right as judge, to redeem and heal and make all things new. And Jesus will be with us forever. There's so much more that we could say about the second coming of Christ, but for today, I wonder where that leaves us now between these two arrivals of Jesus. Well, some theologians call our current time the already and the not yet. Jesus has already come. He's established God's kingdom and won salvation for us on the cross. He's risen again and returned to heaven. But that isn't the end of the story. It's clear that Jesus doesn't think that his work is yet complete. And so we live in a between time, still coexisting with the realities of sin and death, yet having hope that God will one day fulfill his plan and make all things new. And while we live in this in-between time, it's a time that is marked by dramatic upheavals at times, ones that can feel like the end of the world. Jesus was very clear that we would not know when he would return, but people have been trying to prove him wrong for centuries. Whenever catastrophes or wars or earthquakes have broken out, someone is quick to say, this must be a sign. This must be the beginning of the end. And probably most of us have heard stories of people who literally sold all their belongings, went up on a mountain to await the coming of Christ, and were proven to be mistaken. It's understandable that people respond that way, because when we feel disoriented and unsettled by catastrophes, it's understandable that we might think, maybe this is it. Maybe God is throwing in the towel and ushering in a new age that will come through so much turmoil that it will feel like the sun is turning black and the stars are falling from the sky. But for those of us alive today, we have really experienced relative stability and peace compared to a lot of our forerunners in human history. It's easy for us to be lulled into thinking that our experience and our level of chaos and upheaval is the norm. But I think that the last few years have sort of maybe changed our perspective on that. There have been so many events that have really shaken our sense of the foundations of our society and our culture. Political upheaval and uncertainty, wars breaking out, the global pandemic, they have all brought an uncertainty that we may have not known before. And things we thought we could always count on are not as sure as they were before. It has been unsettling to remember that human flourishing can be very fragile. And so given that kind of shift in our culture, in our collective mindset and experience, I think it's actually easier for us now to put ourselves in the disciples' shoes here in Mark 13. I told you a few minutes ago I'd share a different way of thinking about what Jesus is talking about here. Some scholars think that Jesus is talking not only about the very end of the world, but that he is also talking about an event that would happen about 40 years after he spoke these words, an event that would feel like the end of the world to God's people. You probably are aware that in Jesus' time, the Romans were occupying the land of Israel, and this was a source of resentment and oppression and suffering for his people. And after Jesus' ascension to heaven, in the year 66, there was a revolt. The Jews launched a revolt against the Romans, and that ended up in the Romans destroying this temple that Jesus and his disciples are speaking about, and carrying off many of the people who lived in Jerusalem and Israel to other places, another sort of exile for God's people. For the Jews, the destruction of the temple was not just devastating, it was absolutely unthinkable. Because it was that special place where they experienced God's presence among them, it would have felt like the very end of the world, a time when the foundations of their society and their faith seemed to be falling down all around them. So if Jesus is at least in part referencing these events, how do his words in our passage today help guide and instruct us in times of our own uncertainty and dis-ease? Well, Jesus has some responses for his disciples that I think can speak to us today. There are three things. The first one is to keep perspective when events in our world feel disorienting and confusing. Jesus wants his disciples to remember that their hope does not lie in the temple or in any kind of human system. The temple was no longer their limited access point to God. Now that Jesus had come, he had made it possible for them to receive the Holy Spirit. In fact, Paul says, your bodies are now the temple of the Holy Spirit. You bear the presence of God, and wherever you go, you are to witness to that presence of God and to share it with others. And as Jesus' disciples would have fled Jerusalem during this tumultuous time, that scattering ended up being part of sharing the gospel throughout the known world at the time. So Jesus says to keep perspective on your source of hope and security. It is in me, he says, in my power over human history. As our hymn said, God is the ruler yet. So to keep perspective, and then second, to keep alert. This is the wake-up call. Jesus wanted his disciples to not be surprised or confused when this threatening army would come their way. He wanted them to be clear-headed and to have a plan. Be on your guard, keep awake, and stay alert. Jesus made it clear through so many of his parables and teachings that we humans have a tendency to get lulled into thinking when times are good that it will stay that way, that we will have plenty of time to get to the really important things of life. It's very easy for us to put those things off. So keep alert. Don't assume you have more time. Do those hard things you've been putting off. And in saying that, I don't mean go join CrossFit. This is not about starting your New Year's resolutions in Advent. Instead, it's about attending to our relationship with God and with others. Is there someone that we need to reach out to and put things right? Is there a way in which we need to prioritize our spiritual lives during this season of Advent that we've been neglecting? It's easier for us to stay comfortable than to invite discomfort. But remember that lassoism. If it's uncomfortable, it probably means you're doing something right. So keep perspective, keep alert, and finally, thinking of the most well-known Advent song, O Come Emmanuel, keep longing for the coming of Christ. Keep yearning and praying, because that is where our hope ultimately lies, is in Jesus and not in any fleeting source of security on this side of history. May we, during this Advent, make that the prayer of our hearts. O come, Emmanuel. Come, Lord Jesus. That is the cry of Advent, and something I invite you to pray when the pain and darkness of this world seems to be encroaching upon your life. So I pray this Advent will keep perspective, keep alert, and keep on longing. And along with those words of challenge, I do want to offer you some of Jesus' words of comfort, words that are so important to remember whenever we feel shaken or uncertain. He said in the Gospel of John, "In this world you will have trouble, but take heart, I have overcome the world." Amen.